But if you have your Bibles and you care to join me, I'm going to read from the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. Just going to read two verses of Scripture, but they are relevant to what I feel like the Lord would have me to say today. Romans chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. And fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now you may think that is a strange scripture lesson for Father's Day or Mother's Day, as the case might be. But that's what I felt led to read, and that's my thoughts tonight or today are about honoring one another, about paying the tribute that we owe to one another. If you owe something, you're in debt, you know, and you're obligated to pay. And certainly, we have a debt. We're indebted to each other. And so I want you to think about that from that standpoint as I try to speak to you for a little while. I want to use as my subject title for today, Making a Sweet Home. Making a Sweet Home. We've all heard the expression, home, sweet home. I believe at Christmas times we hear the song, there's no place like home for the holidays. Now, I know that there are a lot of homes that are not ideal. There are a lot of homes that are far from being a sweet home. But we can have a sweet home, and we can honor one another, and we can pay tribute to one another as husbands and wives and as children. And we can make our home the sweetest place there is in the world. And I want you to think about that for a little bit. I want to begin with the Adam family. Now, I didn't say Adam's family. That was a pretty dysfunctional family, that television show, the Adam's family. But I want to talk about the Adam family. The Bible tells us in the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis about the Adam family. And I want to read two or three verses here. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them, and called their name Adam. I'm going to talk about Mr. and Mrs. Adam. God called their name Adam. Now, later, when God brought Eve, brought the woman to Adam, he called her Eve. But God called her Adam. And do you know why? Because God created Adam, and then he took a rib from Adam's side and he made a woman. And when he brought her to Adam, Adam said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And so God created a woman. He first created the man and put him in the garden. Beautiful place. perfect atmosphere, nothing, you know, wrong. God saw that Adam was alone. And he said, this is not good. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. Now, he made him a helper. Now, I want to emphasize today to the husbands and wives that are here. We are helpers to each other. God gave Adam a helper. And that means that they worked together. Two people that are working. One may be the owner of the company, and one may be a hired hand. But if they are working together, they're helping each other. That may be maybe not an appropriate illustration. But in the home, the husband and the wife, they are to be helpers to each other. That means they need to be in agreement. They need to be do the same thing and do it the same way. A home is a unit, you know. God, when he established the home, he brought the woman to the man. And God presented her to the man. I believe with all of my heart, I've had two marriages. I believe with all of my heart that God brought me and my two wives together. Now, I didn't have two wives at the same time. Jane and I were married for 58 years. And, you know, we had a good marriage. We loved one another. I honored her. She honored me. I helped her, and she helped me. And together, we raised two children. And I feel like that the Lord helped us to raise those children. I'm proud of them today. I'm proud of who they are. I'm proud of what they have accomplished with their lives. But neither one of us did that separately. We worked together in it. And that's the way a home is supposed to be. Where the husband honors the wife. And where the wife honors the husband. They love each other. And they know the responsibility that has been given to them when they took each other as partners for life. And I do believe that marriage, as God ordained it, is one man and one woman till death does part them. I wanted to think about this with you. There are many homes that are dysfunctional. The husband and the wife, they don't at least demonstrate any love for each other. They manifest more hatred than they do love. They do nothing to make the other one happy. In fact, it seems like in many cases they do everything they can to make the other unhappy. And that's not God's plan for a home. That kind of a home is not a happy home. That kind of a home is not does not have the kind of environment that children need to be raised in. The Bible teaches us now that God, he brought them together. The Bible said Adam knew his wife, and she bare him a son. They started a family. And when you start a family, there is no greater responsibility upon a man and a woman than to raise a family, to raise children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to train them in the way that they should go. It is a great responsibility that rests upon us as parents. Now, I want you to think with me today for just a little bit about this. A marriage is a union. It is a union. This union, the Bible said when God brought Eve to Adam, said that they shall no more be one flesh. They no more shall be twain, but one flesh. I'll get it right in a minute. The joining of a man and a woman together is a union. It is important. Jesus, he taught in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. The Pharisees were questioning him about marriage and so on. And I want to just turn and read about three verses of Scripture, if I can find it here, in the 19th chapter. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Have you not read that he which made them," and that's God. I know there are a lot of people that don't believe that God created man. They say that don't agree with science and all this, that, and the other. But I'm going to say that if science don't agree with the Bible, science is wrong. I believe the Bible is the true Word of God. And I believe that every one of us are going to be judged according to the Word of God. And so he said, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." He said, and I'm reading red letters here. You know, these in a red letter edition of the Bible, the words that Jesus spoke are printed in red. So these are the words of Jesus. These are not the words that I thought up. These are what Jesus said. "Therefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Now, there's a union when God brings a man and a woman together. Sure, there's a little marriage ceremony that we traditionally go through. The preacher, he pronounces the couple, a man and wife, according to the law of the land. But there's a greater law than the law of the land. There is the law of God. And so we're responsible. Sure, we're supposed to obey the laws of the land, but you know, there's a greater law. It supersedes the laws of the land. And that greater law is, they shall no more be twain, but they shall be one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so when children begin to be born, oh, listen, it's a great responsibility to take care of your wife. You know what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5? It said, "Let a man so love his wife as himself." Now, no man has ever hated his own flesh. You don't go around doing things to hurt yourself. You know, You do things to please yourself. But the Bible said we are to love our wives in so much as we love ourselves. We need to try to please our wives. And you say, that's impossible. Amen. Well, it's impossible for the wife to please the husband too. You know, we're individuals. We have our own personalities, you know. But you know what? We are taught in the Word of God that we are to yield ourselves. We are to yield ourselves to one another. Not to try to please ourselves so much, but to try to please our helper. You know, I just can't hardly imagine living alone, though I did for 2 years after Mabel died. Not Mabel, Jane died. You're still alive, Mabel? I thought so. I think of Brother Jimmy over here. He lives by himself. It's not fun, is it, Jimmy? No, it's not. God knew what he was doing when he brought a man and a woman together and he joined them together. They encourage each other. They help each other. They please each other. They make life worth living. And the Bible says that a man is to honor. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I believe it's verse 7. The Bible says that a man should honor his wife as the weaker vessel. Physically speaking, women have a weaker physique than a man does, you know. They're not as strong. But it doesn't matter whether they're weak or strong. We're to honor them. And we're supposed to try to make our home a pleasant place. A place where you'd rather go and rather be than any place under the sun. To be with my companion, my partner, my helper, my life, the mother of my children, the father of my children. Marriage should have a strong bond. I told you, Jane and I lived together for 58 years. We never even considered separating. We had some arguments. She won some and I won some. And some, neither one of us won. But we loved each other. And we wanted a loving environment for our children to be brought up in. And so the Lord began to bless Adam and Eve. And they had children. What an awesome responsibility to be a parent. There is a natural affection for your own flesh and blood. Paul said in the last days there would be people without natural affection. It just amazes me that a mother or a father could abandon their own children. It amazes me that they could abuse their children. Amazes me that they wouldn't take care of them and provide for them so they would have an opportunity at least to have a good life. All that starts in a home sweet home. That's where it starts. And you know, parents have this responsibility. Now, the Bible says this in the book of Proverbs. Maybe I can remember it. We studied it back a few months ago here on Wednesday night. But the Bible says that a child left to himself shall bring shame to his mother. You see, as the song we played a little bit earlier, the parents are to fashion the child, mold the child, you know, teach them what is right, teach them what is wrong, teach them how to do things. Mother teaches daughter how to cook, how to wash dishes, how to clean the house, how to sew. You say, well, none of those things happen in our homes. Well, times have changed. I know that. I know that. But it's the older women's responsibility to teach the younger women. It's what Titus wrote in Titus chapter 2, I believe it is. The fathers are to teach the boys how to make a living. You know, and they learn not only from what you say to them, but from observation. Children see how the daddy treats the mother. And they see how the mother treats the daddy, you know. They should see love and affection. They should see, you know, honesty. They should see integrity. They should see strong, godly men and women. And the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you shall diligently teach these things to your children. You teach them. You teach them it's wrong to steal. You teach them it's wrong to lie. You teach them to honor their parents. I see kids that have no respect for their parents. They'll say anything to them. Disobey them, you know, and the parents just let it go. That's not the way to raise a child. You teach them. You train them in the way they should go. So, you know, it's an awesome responsibility being a dad and being a mother. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. But I want to reinforce this. I want these young people that are in our presence today, I want them to follow in the footsteps of godly mothers and fathers that prepare their children for life. You know, for the most part, we'll do most anything for our children, you know. And we ought to. Anything that's right. And anything that's wrong, we should not endorse it. And we should not agree with it. You know, we want to raise upstanding children, don't we? We want them, you know, to be boys and girls that will find a suitable mate. A suitable mate. And I would admonish you young people, you know, be careful who you date. You just don't go out with anybody. You know, have some standards. Jane and I were dating, we were seniors in high school. And still, If you're going anywhere on Sunday night, you're going to church. You're not going somewhere else. You go to church. That was a rule. That was a rule. You know, Jane and I never did regret that. We never did. We respected the wishes of our parents. And you know, the principles that they stood for, we stand for. You know. And so, home should be a sweet place. A sweet place. Fathers should work at it. Mothers should work at it. And children should work at it. It's God's plan. God's plan is always the best plan. Amen? Amen. I went down to Fairview's Revival 3 nights this week. And the evangelist said, "You're the quietest bunch of Baptists I ever saw in my life," he said. Well, you may not agree with everything I say, but I try my best to teach you what the Bible teaches. I'm doing my very best to do that. And I know it works. I know it works. So, you raise them up. You teach them the Ten Commandments. You know, it's amazing how many laws God gave to the children of Israel. But those first 10 were the most important. And number 5, children, listen. Number 5 says, honor your father and your mother. Why should I do that? Because God said so, one. But secondly, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mightest live long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And Paul said that that's the first commandment that God gave that had a promise attached to it. I tell you that God wants children to honor their father and their mother. And it'll be for your good and your benefit. You'll be blessed by doing it. You'll be blessed by doing it. Bible said, correct a child. Now, parents, this is to you. Correct a child while there's hope. You don't need to wait till they get to be teenagers and then start teaching them right from wrong. You know, when they're babies, you teach them. You train them in the way that they should go. The Bible says that a child left to himself shall bring shame to his mother. And that's Bible. We're to fear the Lord and honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. When you live according to the Bible, you're honoring the Lord. But you need to honor them, the Lord. You need to teach children to respect each other, to respect other people, to respect other people's property. Now, what we've seen going on in some of the major cities of America for the last few weeks is a shame and a disgrace. It is. People have no respect for themselves. They have no respect for the property of other people. You know, I tell you, we need to turn back to God. And we need to turn back to the teachings of the Bible. You know, something that belongs to me, you should willingly keep your hands off of it. And anything that belongs to you, I should keep my hands off of it. You know, we need to learn to respect, honor, love. It's a great fundamental from the very first family. And God still honors His word. We need to teach our children about Jesus. We need to set an example. Take them to church. Take them to church. Why? Because there's something goes on at church they need to hear. The Word of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your kids are not going to get saved if they don't hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will die in their sins and go to hell if they don't hear the gospel. And you don't know at what service they're going to become accountable. And you don't know when God's going to start dealing with their hearts. You know, so they need to be exposed to the Word of God. And our prayer, sincere prayer should be every Sunday, Lord, open the heart of my child and let the Word of God have free course. I'm not fussing. God knows I'm not fussing. But I'm telling you things that are important to having a home sweet home. You know, we go to funerals and, you know, we like to put everybody in heaven. You know, I want everybody to go to heaven, but I've got nothing to do with them going there. It's up to them. God made us free agents, and we can choose. And we can choose to reject Jesus as our Savior, and we can choose to seek Him as our Savior. And the choice is an individual choice. So I'm going to close. But I want you to know, home, well, they say home is where the heart is. I guess that maybe is true in lots of cases. But home can be a sweet place. A sweet place. Where you feel secure. And you feel loved. And you know, that you're safe and protected and you're going to be taken care of, you know. And you know it. And when it comes time to find you a husband or a wife, be careful, be careful. You say, well, you an old fogey, you know. Times have changed. Yeah, they've changed, but they've changed for the worse, my friend. I'm telling you. Have changed for the worst. So this is my message today. You say, well, I could have done better than that. You probably could. You probably could. But that was what I felt like doing today. Nothing, only one thing more important than the home. And that's the church. One institution. Home was founded first. The church was founded by Jesus. I pray that God will bless the message today. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate all of our fathers and mothers. And those of you out there who are watching and listening by Facebook, I hope you'll take to heart what I've said today as well. You know, I can't see you. I don't know a thing in the world about you. You know, I just know that that on my Facebook page it shows up. You know, last week 900 views to our service here at Fairview Memorial. More than 900. Had some that were 3,000 views. Had some that were 2,000. I don't know who you are, but I know this. I know God's way is the right way. And I know that Jesus loves you. And I know that He's willing and ready to save you. And you don't have to be in church to get saved. I was saved at home. I'd been to church that morning, that afternoon. in the living room of my parents' home, sitting in a rocking chair, I found peace with God. I woke my mother up. I didn't use the exact words of that song, but I said, "Mother, everything's going to be all right." And I found Jesus. Now everything's all right. May God bless you. Now I do have a little gift for you all. Mabel's going to help me. Mabel, make your way back there. Mabel is going to present a little gift to the men. And I'm going to present a little gift to the women, to the mothers. And don't forget, I want you to leave one aisle, one pew at a time. Start in the back.